Hello and welcome to The Word, bringing you the good news of Jesus Christ every day from the Order of Preachers around the world. Today, from the United States, we hear from Dr. Anne Garrido, an Associate Professor of Homiletics at Aquinas Institute of Theology. Anne is in St. Louis right now, and her preaching is entitled, Stuck in the Story?
A reading from the Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus heard of the death of John the Baptist, he withdrew in a boat to a deserted place by himself. The crowds heard of this and followed him on foot from their towns. When he disembarked and saw the vast crowd, his heart was moved with pity for them, and he cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples approached him and said, "This is a deserted place, and it's already late. Dismiss the crowds so that they can go to the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "There is no need for them to go away. Give them some food yourselves." But they said to him, "Five loaves and two fish are all we have here." Then he said, "Bring them here to me." And he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the five loaves and the two fish and looking up to heaven, he said the blessing, broke the loaves, and gave them to the disciples, who in turn gave them to the crowds. They all ate and were satisfied, and they picked up the fragments left over, 12 wicker baskets full. Those who ate were about 5,000 men, not counting women and children. I hated telling Jesus the news of George Floyd's death, even more than I hated telling him about the death of John the Baptist. Yet another man of color he had known and loved, whose life had been cut short by the unrepentant violence of the state. And just as with news of John, to see Jesus' eyes open wide and his head tilt back, to hear his groan of primal rage before he turned to tears and stumbled off into the early morning light toward the water, toward our boat, toward the silence of the lake and the empty land beyond, well, it was a frightening sight. And it's hard to know how to be with him in those moments. So I did not ask if he wanted me to come with. I think he needed to be alone. But that left me standing at the shoreline still, as news began to ripple out into our camp in the towns beyond, where, like on the morning after the temple fell in the days of Jeremiah, the people emerged from their own slumber in grief and rage and the kind of exhaustion that comes not from lack of sleep, but lack of justice, lack of any sense of being heard, lack of hope. And I watched as they stumbled, not by sea, but by foot, out toward the same empty desert land, beyond. A few carried spray paint and gasoline. Most carried cardboard and Sharpies and masks, because their woes were not limited to this death alone. And when Jesus saw them coming out toward the empty wilderness in their own grief and pain, he wailed even louder. Like in the days of Babylon, when the people no longer knew if they would be able to sing their own songs, for they were in a land that in no way felt like their own. It was easy to see that Christ's heart was rent and his gut wrenched as he walked into their midst, laying healing hands and speaking words to strengthen their spirits. It was a long day, for the crowd was large. 5,000, I have heard, not counting women and children. And seriously, who doesn't count women and children anymore? I mean, except our own U.S. government, which has apparently lost over 1,500 of them along the southern border and doesn't know where to find them. And then there are the disappeared and murdered Native women of the northern plains. Can't quite get a number on them either. Oh, God, I sank to the ground in my own despair. It is still true. We still aren't counting women and children either. Jesus Christ, where do we go from here? I mean, that not to use the Lord's name in vain, but as an actual question. Jesus Christ, where do we go from here? No, I think I've seen this before. I think I know what happens next. I've seen it not once, but six times, because it's in all four of the Gospels, twice in Matthew and in Mark. There's going to be a miracle. I find myself starting to get hopeful. Sit down, I start telling the people around me. He's going to fix this. Pray, call on him, and he will make things right. Some people do. Some just get agitated. They have no desire to be told to sit down. Nothing's happening. What is taking so long? Why is the story not unfolding like it has so many times before? Seriously, I say, sit down. Something amazing is about to happen. But a few around me are getting even more irritated, and it draws Jesus' attention, and he moves in my direction. What is going on? He asks. I'm trying to get people to sit down, I say, so that you can work the miracle. Ordering people to sit down or not is my job in this story, he says, not yours. Well, what is taking you so long? I ask. I'm waiting for your 5 loaves and 2 fishes, he replies. But that is all I've got, I say, and it's not enough. What I've got would not make a dent in the immense, overwhelming problem of racism. Well, then, I guess we're stuck, because that's the only way the story moves forward. There was a long pause. Do you want the story to move forward? He asks. I instinctively hug my sack. I don't mean to. It's just a reflexive movement, checking to make sure that the loaves and fish are still there. I don't like that some people insist on calling this sack privilege. I just call it lunch. It's just always been lunch. Do you want the story to move forward? He asks again. Do I? I ask myself. Couldn't the story move on without me? I ask him. I don't think it works that way, he replies.